Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Good evening, everyone, and yes, indeed, let's get started. Tonight, we have an interesting guest on the show. Her name is Lisa Attanzio, and Lisa is what is called an evidential medium. And she will explain a little bit more about that as we progress in the show. Just a few tidbits about Lisa at this time. She has a business called Heavenly Soul and Spirit, which can be found on Facebook. She is studying through or at the Arthur Findlay School, which is located in Essex, England. And at the age of 8 years old, she had seen her first, at least of what she remembers, her first apparition after the passing of her grandmother. Lisa's goal, from what I understand, or at least to this point, is to help transform and aid individuals with the communication of their loved ones that have crossed. And so I think without further ado, we need to get started because I know this is going to take us all the way to the end tonight, and I want to make sure that you get the best benefit out of this entire interview. So, Lisa, listeners, as they say, stay tuned.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And I am so happy to introduce to you my special guest today, Lisa. Lisa, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lisa, you would be a what I would call for this show a new theme, new ideas, and new learning for a lot of our listeners. But as always, when I start my shows, I like to start out by asking a little bit about your journey and how you came to be who you are today. And so why don't we just start this right from the beginning? So take it away, Lisa.
Okay, thanks so much. So my grandmother, my dad's mother, she passed away at age 68. And I had a feeling that she, you know, she was having heart trouble. And I said to my mom and dad, I said, I think grandma's going to die. And of course, they're not going to believe an eight-year-old, right? And grandma went to the hospital. Grandma came home. I was getting this really bad feeling that night. My mom also is a medium. So we have that in the family. And my mom's mom is a medium. So I was getting, again, really bad feelings. Then I saw my grandma in my room that night. I already knew she passed away. My mom got a phone call about an hour later to come over because grandma was sleeping and not waking up. My mom went over to her house, and she indeed passed away at age 68.
Wow.
That did change the course of my life.
All right. So you're 8 years old.
Yes.
And let's go back one step further, even from your grandmother, or maybe at the point that your grandmother passed away. And then we're going to ask a little bit about that experience in itself. But
sure.
So when you're an 8 year old child, I'm going to just assume that before the age of 8 years old, maybe possibly you might have noticed something different about yourself than maybe the other kids around you? Or do you think it was definitely at the age of 8 when all of a sudden everything just kind of started opening up for you? What would you say about that?
I would say maybe even younger. I used to have an imaginary friend that I would play with, ring around the rosy. I could describe what she looked like. She had brown hair and blue eyes. And I constantly would draw her picture like over and over again. Mm-hmm. Then my mom thought it was a little freaky. She's like, mm-hmm. All right, it's enough with drawing the same picture of this little girl. I get it. You like this little girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, mom, she's here with me all the time. And I'd have tea with her in my room and I'd talk to her like she was really there, because she was. So it's normal for children that are younger, like 3, 4, to develop this ability at that young age. As we grow older, we lose that, 7, 8, 9, because we're told to, there are our imagination to give that up.
Right.
So, yeah. So, as we grow up, we start to adapt with our, assimilate into, society, because society tells you that's not okay.
So my question, I'm just thinking about this for a moment, because my husband also had an imaginary friend, and he could have been talking to either his deceased uncle or his deceased brother, who died very, very, very young. But he didn't know he had a brother until, believe it or not, he was told at age 50 that, wow. Yeah, I know. How do you go an entire life without knowing that you actually had another brother? Well, my question to you is, he doesn't remember. He remembers playing with an invisible friend, but he does not remember what this invisible friend looked like. Were you able to visually remember or see this person or this child with you?
Yeah, all the time.
Wow.
I never felt alone. She's always with me.
Wow.
But I would draw her picture over and over again, because it felt like the right thing to do at that age, right?
Yeah.
I like to draw, so I would draw.
Yeah.
But when we're at that age, our brain is, playful and not able to rationalize things. So we're able to see the other world. There's a really thin veil. But as we start to get school-aged, our reason, rational mind steps in, and our rational mind says, oh no, that's not possible. You can't see the other side. And so that's where it starts to change.
Yeah.
The rational mind says, no, that's not happening. There is nobody there.
I was just going to jump back, and then, yes, I want you to jump forward again with what you're going to say.
Okay.
So the young gal that you were playing with, do you
recall, right.
I mean, if you had to put it in adult thinking age now, do you recall, was she like around your age, or was she older, or?
My age.
It was your age. And do you remember at all the type of clothing that she wore?
The clothing really didn't stick out. I don't remember it being like 1800s or 1700s. It was more just like facial features that, I could relate to her. We were having fun. There wasn't anything that was scary. I kind of felt that she was like my spiritual guide at the time.
Yeah.
And there to protect me and keep me safe and happy. And we, in that moment, we were happy, you know, playing go seek, playing outside together. I had a house, like a wooden house, and we would play on the stove. So it was my magical friend that no one else could see but me.
Wow.
And, but, you know, as we get school age, that rational mind steps in and she was gone.
Right. I was going to just ask you that. So All of a sudden, one day, or distraction or refocus, this gal all of a sudden isn't with you anymore.
No.
Did you ever question where she went?
I don't think I ever questioned where she went. I just felt like it was time for her to leave. And when she's ready, she'll come back.
Wow. So we need to tell the listeners here a little bit about your background with your family, because Lisa and I have, of course, we always talk before the show is recorded. And one of the things, Lisa, is that you come from a family of mediums. Can you go into that just a little bit?
Yeah. So my grandmother, my mom's mother, was a medium. My mom is a medium, as well as myself. My brother has some abilities. And also I noticed when I talked to my family members that my father's side had people on that side that were mediums as well. So it is in our DNA. And now my 15-year-old daughter has some abilities as well.
You find that the abilities that everybody has in your family are about the same, or do you think some are gifted with certain things more than others?
So my mom and I are quite the same. My brother's is different. My grandma and I were the same. And my daughter and I are quite different. So a lot of people that you'll meet, that even in the family or just in general, everyone is unique to their own abilities. You'll have your own style of way you do your own readings one-on-one, or if you do a platform or a gallery, or if you do an intuitive reading, so psychic abilities. Basically, you work the way you work. And you can't change that, because that's the gift you were given by God.
Yeah.
And it is a gift, because being able to communicate with our loved ones on the other side truly is a gift.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes here. I want to go back to the experience you had with your grandmother who showed up in your room. Did you say she was sitting on your bed? Let me make
sure
I remember that right. Okay, so when you were, let me pick this apart just a little bit so people understand that I suppose that this doesn't necessarily happen at any particular time. But do you recall the time when you were startled by this or kind of taken back by the fact that she was there? It was this like mid-morning or what time was it?
So after we went to the funeral and I stayed in the car because it was below zero, like 55 below.
Yeah.
And my mom and dad said, no, you're not getting out to bury your grandmother. And my dad went through a depression at age 40, watching his mom be buried.
Yeah.
We came back to the home and I felt my grandma right away in my home. Because I think my home needed her love and support right away.
Okay.
So I felt that the emotion in the house, you know, with my mom and my dad being so sad, right?
Right.
It was traumatic to lose my grandmother for my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
But I went and sat up in my room, and that's where I felt safe. And I felt so bad for my dad. It was the first grandparent that I lost.
Yeah.
And I was sitting on my bed. It was a canopy bed. And I remember feeling a presence in the room. And I remember feeling like I'm not alone in this room, and I'm not alone. And it wasn't just my grandmother. There were many spirits in my room because my room started to get very cold. And I remember feeling that she was sitting at the edge of the bed because I could see it in my head. And she was so happy, and she wasn't sick anymore. And she had her legs crossed, and her favorite color was blue. She was wearing a blue dress. And she was sending me love and trying to tell me to tell my dad, don't be sad. I'm okay. But, you know, how was I going to do that, right?
Right.
I'm 8. How am I going to tell my dad not to be sad?
Right.
But I had that comfort and that love from her that I knew that everything was going to be okay. Even though I had no idea, I knew it was going to be, everything was going to be okay. So every day she would come and she would sit at the end of the bed. And eventually I became able to see her with my own eyes. So it was more like an objective medium. So usually I'm subjective, yeah, meaning that I can only see it in my third eye, right?
Right.
But now, eventually, I was able to see her, like, in three-dimensional, and it was amazing, the magic that was happening only in my room when I was playing Barbie dolls, sitting on the floor. My collie was sitting on the bed. My grandma had, you know, I saw the stockings she had on, the blue dress, and the smile that she had on her face, and the reassurance that she gave me, your dad will be okay.
Yeah.
That my dad will be okay. Because I think when people go through such traumatic events, and they lose somebody that they love, you know, at any age, right? My dad was 40, but my grandma was so young to die. And they get taken from us, right? My dad wasn't thinking, oh, my mom's a medium and so am I. And all he was thinking about was the pain that he was going through. But I knew that he was going to be okay because I had my grandmother coming every single day, giving me that reassurance, telling me, don't worry, you'll be okay.
Lisa, when your grandmother came to visit and she was, did you say sitting on the bed with you?
Yeah, she was sitting on my bed. That was a canopy bed in my room when I would play on the floor. And then I started to hear music, like a music box playing from the other room. I started to feel other spirits coming in my room, not only my grandma. So I could only see my grandma with my eyes, but I could feel other spirits. People I probably have never met, but they were family members. And they were in my room with me. And I felt really happy because I felt like, okay, my world feels a little uncomfortable right now, but it's going to be okay. And my mom would come check on me and make sure, oh, you're really playing a lot in your room these days. But it was okay. I never shared it with her.
Did your grandmother ever look at you face to face, or was she like sitting in any position? Like, was she sitting there looking at you so you could see her face, or you could? And what was the expression that you had on her face?
So the same expression every single day. She came even at night. I felt her presence when I'd go to bed. When I was, you know, still sad in my house, it's a smile. The same, her name was Honey. So her nickname. And it was the same blue dress that she was buried in, but it was her favorite dress. And she would just give me that huge smile, but it was nothing that she said. It was a feeling that I felt of just pure love. Like, you'll be fine. You're okay. Everyone will be okay. And that's all actually I needed to know that I'll be okay.
Yeah. The other spirits that were also coming into your room, were you able to eventually see them or just feel them only?
So yeah, I never was able to see them, but I felt like a crowd in my room, like overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, I might have 20 people in my room. Mm-hmm. I heard voices. I heard my name, Lisa, being called. One day my mom heard her name really being called. Mm-hmm. I never got to see them. It felt like great grandparents probably in my room. Mm. And they were just coming there to let me know that this is going to be a journey that you're going to one day take. You're not ready for it today. So we're not going to let this progress farther than this.
So this is, the other question I would have with that is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I think you mentioned it in the beginning. Do you think these individuals, these relatives, these great grandparents, and whoever might have joined them, mm-hmm. do you think that they also, I think you might have said yes, do you think that they also had some abilities on the side that you say that you had the mediums throughout your family and it kind of extends? Do you think it extended to them as well?
Yeah, I think in the DNA, it goes back hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So I think it's on my mom's side.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
And it just runs farther. I mean, if I had to sit down, my grandmother at the end said that when she was dying, she's like, oh, am I dead yet? She's like, oh, and I'm like, no, grandma, you're not dead yet. Oh, and she's like, oh, I just spoke to your grandfather. So, yeah, she had a lot of evidence before she was dying.
That's another, you know what, that's another good question right there. So you brought it up, and I know what it's like when I started losing all my grandparents one by one. There's always the first. That's usually the toughest. I'm not saying any of them get easier after that. It depends on your relationship with them. But that brings up a really good question. So people would want to know, did your grandfather ever experience her in any way that he may have spoken to you about after her death? Let's go to that realm here for a moment.
You mean the grandmother that I was close to? So my other grandmother, I was very close to. She was a medium. She never spoke of any, he died first.
Oh.
And she never really talk too much about it.
Yeah.
I guess because I don't know, maybe it was a taboo. Yeah. Like that she was a medium. Is that kind of what you're asking? Yeah. Yeah. So I never really, the things that she would say is, oh, I smelled your grandfather today. Mm-hmm. I could smell, you know, part of the clairs. So I could feel him in the house today. Well, those are not normal things that a normal person, you know, says.
No.
I think your grandfather, she had her first heart attack. I think he wants me to come now. And I'm like, no, we don't want you to go, you know? So different things that she would let me know. I mean, I knew she was a medium, but again, you know, it's not, she was born in 27.
Yeah.
So it wasn't considered to be, you know, a thing she wanted all her friends and family to know.
Well, and back then too, you had to be really careful about who you shared that stuff with, because the attitudes, I think, are better. I think they're better in this day and age right now. And I think that that's what these programs do help individuals realize, that sometimes there are things we can't explain, and now we're trying to explain them to in the softest way we can. But back then, I'm following you exactly on the attitudes potentially back then. So yeah.
Yeah, she couldn't just come out and say, hey, I'm a medium. No. I mean, even to this day, I think it's now more acceptable to be a medium. But some people might not look at it like that. They might think you're a witch.
Yeah.
Or you're doing witchcraft.
Correct.
And it's not true, as we know, because there's so many wonderful mediums out there. We do have a school called Arthur Findlay College that's in Essex, England, that does teach classes how to work with your abilities. So
I'm going to talk about that as we move on here a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want to back up a second now, and I want to bring you a little bit forward. So here you're having these experiences, of course, at a very young age. You're in school. Let's go to the school aspect now, because you recognize this at around age 8, and now you're in school kind of amongst your peers and all that. Tell me a little bit about what you experienced as a child growing up in school.
So I think growing up in school was kind of hard. You know, being a empath and a psychic and being a medium, I feel things off of other people. So I can feel things like if someone's having a bad day, just off of your vibration. And it is hard, you know, as a child, as an 8-year-old or as a 10-year-old to kind of tone that down, because you got hormones of your own, and then you are picking up and sensing other people's feelings. So I had to learn, I call it snow globing, or just how to deal with my own emotions separate from someone else's emotions. Because when I walk into a room, I feel tons of emotions. It's like a field of emotions. And I have to learn how to just deal with my own emotions and not somebody else's. So it was very difficult as a kid.
Let me ask about your teachers, because this is kind of interesting. So here you are, a very gifted child. You are seeing things or hearing things and sensing things, and mm-hmm. you're recognizing this stuff, of course, well before whenever. And I know that as a child myself, I grew up as a very sensitive child and probably was an empath. Probably, I definitely was back in the day, but I never recognized it as that, because I just thought I was just overly sensitive and no one ever put a label on things. But I'm kind of curious, really. So you're sitting there in class and you see your teachers come in or whatever. Were you able to see anything about their life or their future or their issues or anything like that, just sitting there from your chair watching them?
I mean, yeah, I could sometimes feel like if someone was going to be sick or someone around them was going to die. It was emotionally was very difficult for me at such a young age to have been given this type of gift. But I just kind of sometimes would get, sad, sometimes even depressed, because it was hard to live with. So, I just did the best I could, because it was hard dealing with other people's emotions. I would try to put up like a white light around myself, like a shield, when I would go into a room. And I still do that even today. So if I go into a room and there's a lot of energies and a lot of vibrations, because everybody has, you know, so that's how you're able to pick up psychically off of other people, like Andrew Jackson Davis taught us about energy fields, right? So I learned to shield myself. That was the best thing to do. Otherwise, I would become a sucker for being drained and energy, just drained all the time and depressed.
Yep.
It was very, very hard.
Yep.
So that was the best tool that I learned to do when I was around too many people and it became too much, sitting in a classroom with kids, because no one really understood really what was going on with me.
Yeah. And back then, even as you look back now, I'm not even sure that was a topic you could even talk about with anyone back then anyway. I mean, as the last 10, 12 years, maybe 20, but I don't think so. Maybe last 10. I always say the last 10. It just seems like things are getting out there. And it's a lot of it, too, is due to the exposure, or maybe the overexposure of this, I don't want to use the word the topic, but, you know, like, for example, on television, there are so many paranormal programs and now UFO programs and Bigfoot and this and that, that they're just trying to, they just constantly bombard you with this stuff. And unless you're truly, truly not interested in it, or you don't have the money for cable, whichever comes first here, I've noticed this in a friend of mine. I was just out with a friend of mine a couple days ago, and the way he was talking, it was obvious to me he hasn't been doing his homework, you know? So, I mean, it's just like, I felt like saying it would benefit you a little bit to try to, see what else is, you know, they're at least trying to show you on television, so you don't keep having this narrow-minded thinking, which is still very true to this day in a lot of these communities. Some of them just do not ever go out of their bubbles or their shells, and they hibernate from just at least trying to understand new things, right? So that's difficult. So now you're being transformed. I feel like throughout your younger ages, and you're getting through high school and all that, I feel like now you're going in a transformation. So why don't you tell people a little bit about your journey with your transformation, like where we know kind of where it started. So tell us a little bit more about the journey and the steps beyond that.
Okay. So during my teenage years, it was still difficult dealing with being a teen, I guess, psychic and stuff like that. But as I got older, I learned how to develop and deal with being psychic and a medium. And then probably going, weird things would just constantly happen in my house. Like glass, I think I told you, would break and just weird phenomenon would happen. We'd hear voices in our house, which we believe were some of our ancestors growing up. And we had just normal everyday things like that would happen. I would feel things before they would happen. We'd have lights going on and off in my house. Music boxes would be playing. Anything with like watches or batteries, I really don't wear because they break. Mm-hmm. Telephones break, like a cell phone. My cell phones break all the time. I have to go to Best Buy and get a new cell phone. So during, even when cell phones were just coming out, you can imagine what that was like for me. Mm-hmm. And electronic things, any type of electronic phenomenon, I'm able to kill batteries. I have to put batteries in all the time, brand new in my house, because they die. So I think it's part of the magnetic energy that I'm able to create with my own energy.
Right.
And I kill things that way. So magnetism. So I learned a lot about that in my teenage years, of how the do's and don'ts of being a medium. Like, don't buy a good watch because it's not worth it. And my mom taught me a lot too. Like, but you know, we still had to kind of be careful because, you know, not everyone believed in like what we did. Even though, you know, you got people that started spiritualism back in 1851 in the United States, or 1826, the first American clairvoyants and prophets that were here. But people were not, it was not cool or not okay sometimes not to, you know, to be a medium. So we kind of kept it under wraps, but some people knew we were mediums, and I did readings at 16 and 17. And my mom never really professionally did readings. It was always me. And then going into my 20s, I always had a feeling that this would be my destiny, that I'd eventually probably, I did social work and I got my master's. UW-Milwaukee, but I would always find that this somehow my journey would lead me back to being a medium, that really was my happy place. giving people the feeling that their loved ones are always with them and that they're never really alone. So if you want to talk to your loved one, you can at any time, in any moment. It's just a thought, because that's how it is on the other side. You just think it and they can hear it.
One of the things I learned, though, and you might be able to agree with me on this, but I would say you're the expert on this, is that I was in a psychic development and a manifestation class, probably about 8 months or so ago. And I can't remember which one brought it up. And they said, when you're asking to talk to somebody, you know, your relatives, make sure you say their full name and try to say it three times, because there's so many people that have heard the word mom or dad or grandma or grandpa that sometimes it's confusing. And so unless you're more specific, you might not know exactly who's listening and who's actually addressing. Would you agree with that?
So when I do a medium reading, they know exactly the intention who you're asking for. So first, when I do a reading, I just kind of go ahead and sit down. I get in the power. And then usually whoever is meant to speak to that person comes through. It's kind of like what you need versus what you want.
Right.
Now, if you didn't get to speak to who you wanted, then I'll ask for a name, just first name only. And then I will ask in the spirit world for that person to come through. But usually when I've done a reading for that spirit or that family member, they usually get like that mom or dad to come through right away, because they need that reading so that they can heal. So if they just passed away, or even if it's 12, 15 years, it's that healing that needs to take place. Not sometimes just on this side, but on the other side too. It's a dual thing. So if mom wasn't such a great mom, well, now it's time for mom to say, I'm sorry, that she's evolved on the other side and that she's recognizing the signs of why she wasn't a great mom. Or it could be dad. Dad wasn't such a great dad. You know, dad had borderline personality disorder, or he had narcissistic personality disorder, whatever it would be. And now he's learning, wow, I could have done a lot more for my daughter. Oh, wow. You know, and it takes so much time and development for them to realize it, because there's so many different stages they go through on the other side. And you can learn about it. There's a really good book. It's called Light from Silver Birch, and it's written by Maurice Barbanel. He has a whole different series. He was a medium, and Silver Birch was his guide. And he talked about about the other side. You can get it on Amazon. It's one of the best books I've ever read. And it really teaches you about the other side and how it works. I really, really plug for that.
So one more time on the name, slowly say it again.
Okay. So Light from Silver Birch.
Okay.
The Silver Birch series.
Okay.
And I highly recommend it, because it teaches you what it is like on the other side.
Okay.
Maurice Barbanel was the medium that channeled Silver Birch.
Okay. And that can be gotten on Amazon. Is that
yep. where-
Okay, that's yeah. Everyone seems to know Amazon these days, so that's a good
yeah.
one.
And it talks about like what is the other side like when your loved ones get there. What is the purpose that we're here? What's the journey? You know. So if you don't have a great understanding of it, these books will tell you.
question for you about what if someone comes through that the person you're doing a reading for really does not want to talk to that person at all, or maybe they have their own unfinished business and they're just like, I'm going into shutdown. How do you handle it then?
So if my sitter doesn't want to talk to someone that comes through, I am completely, you know, totally understand that. I've had that happen before because they're not ready for the healing process to take place. And I'm very respectful with that. So what happens is, you know, maybe they try another time. That spirit on the other side will just keep waiting for that day when they're ready.
Interesting.
Because it takes both of them in order to have the healing take place.
That's what I was going to ask. What if the other person just doesn't, you know, you hear this all the time.
Yeah, and you do.
So-and-so to come through, but they just would not come through. Do they hate me? You know, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts about that to somebody who wishes they could? Because there's one gentleman I'm thinking of in particular right now, and he has wanted so badly to talk to his mother forever and ever and ever. And there was, you know, as many have done, they make these promises that if they're able to come back, or they're able to reach out, or they can give them a sign, that they'll come back and they'll do that. And some people get the sign. Like, for example, my dad, I had two incidences with my father coming back, probably more like three. But anyway, but some people in my family did not have any contact, or they just didn't understand what the signs were. But there are people that just like, my mother is not coming back to talk to me. What do you say to them about that?
Well, sometimes that spirit is just not connecting with that medium either. So that has a lot to do with it too. And it has nothing to do with that family member. That is one possibility. Okay. So the medium has to be a really good conductor in order for that to take place. Now, the other situation might be is that spirit just isn't ready to talk right now.
Yeah.
So it's either one factor or the other.
Yeah.
So the medium really has to be in the power and able to be able to deliver the message. Usually I'm letting you know from what I'm hearing actually now, I would change my opinion on this and say that it's usually the medium that is the problem, because they're not doing the job they're supposed to be doing. I don't necessarily always feel that it is the spirit. The spirit is always here, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in that another dimension, and they're developing and changing. Spirit doesn't, it's not like that there. They don't hold grudges. They're not angry. They're not mad. That is an earthly emotion. When you get to the other side, you're not like that anymore. There are no grudges. So it's hard to believe that you would be getting a reading and you can't get somebody to come through. The only reason you can't get the person to come through is it always comes down to the medium.
So I'm thinking about, I had a gentleman who, I don't know, I had on this show a long time ago, who did a pretty good job with being able to connect with my dad. But what I found really interesting throughout the reading is that he did ask, the medium did ask to speak to my grandfather, who is my dad's dad, okay? And I do remember him saying this. He said, he acknowledged me at first, and then he said, I don't know who you are, and I'm not going to talk to you. And he said, and then he shut the veil. But the thing is when I thought about that and I thought about that reaction, it's kind of like that's exactly how he would have been if he were alive, because I kind of knew his personality to be more, a little bit more suspicious, a little bit more cautionary, not as vulnerable or open. And so I thought to myself, he's just practicing the way he's always been, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so to answer your question, we do keep the same personalities that we have on the other side. That's absolutely right.
Okay.
And we will react the same way on the other side.
Okay.
But we do not hold grudges on the other side. It is pure love, because when you step over and you're not in your physical body anymore, it is truly different.
Yeah.
And the way you do feel on the other side is a totally different. Now, you will have the characteristics. You will be personally the same. But I've never heard that, actually, that the person doesn't want to talk to the daughter. And that's a first one for me.
Yeah, no, it'd be granddaughter here. But the way it sounded, though, I mean, when I sat back and I thought about it, at first you can think, as the person, you can say, oh my God, I can't believe he would never want to talk to me. But then as I started to think about it,
yeah,
that's the way he was in life anyway. Not that it was negative, just suspicious and guarded. That's what I'm trying to say. So,
okay. Was he kind of grumpy?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I got grumpy old man.
Yeah. 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 Very, very serious. Kind of grumpy. Yeah. Yeah, but not my dad. My dad was not that way.
No, not your dad, your grandfather.
My grandfather on his side, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And so the thing is, it's just kind of interesting when you think about it. Now, let's talk a little bit about earthbound spirits. So you're talking about the ones that may have crossed, but I know that you have probably had many situations with those that have not crossed or earthbound spirits. What are your thoughts about that?
So, to be honest, the earthbound spirits, I see them, but I really don't have much to do with it because I don't do anything paranormal. They're just kind of here. They exist. They're just scared to cross over because they're fear that they might be judged.
Right.
A lot of times you get children that are still here that were victimized and they don't want to cross over. So you might get a situation like that, and they do come, angels, many times to get them, but they just don't want to go yet. You will get, you know, houses that are, have a vibration that are just off, and people buy them and then they're stuck with a house with a ghost.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they have somebody that wasn't a nice person in a lifetime and now they're stuck there.
Yeah.
You know, and you get stuck with that house that's unfortunate, has somebody that wasn't such a good person in life and they're not going to be such a great person in death.
Yeah.
So, so earthbound wise, the only time I had a situation was I went to Vegas with my husband and we went to go through, this mobster thing.
The mob museum.
Yeah, did you go to it?
Oh, I've been to Vegas a million times. Yes.
Okay.
There actually are two of them. Are you talking about the one that looks like a building that's on the road? Are you talking about the one that is within one of the casinos?
Yeah, it was like the Flamingo or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I decided to go there, and I was like, "Oh, excited! We're gonna go see this. My husband's really into it." And then I started to get, you know, the psychic vibe. And I'm like, uh-oh, somebody's here. Someone's attached to something. And then I started, like, getting the manager and giving, like, readings out. And I'm like, well, I know who he is. This one's here. He's giving me his name. And I was getting, you know, like, not such great vibes. And I'm walking through the whole thing. And the manager's like, oh, wow, thanks for telling me all this. And on the way out, I told him, one of the other managers, I'm like, oh, I just wanted to let you know your grandmother says hi. And he's like, dang, how'd you know that? I'm like, well, I'm psychic. He goes, yeah, she just died yesterday.
Oh, my God. And,
yeah. So my husband's like, well, you know, I didn't believe it in the beginning because I'm a doctor. But yeah, I think I believe in it now. And we had like one of the mobsters literally on the plane with us almost all the way home until I had to make a strong, firm, like, you're not following me home. You're staying in Vegas. Goodbye. And yeah, so it was a little uncomfortable, but I try to make a rule when I go in any haunted places that I have boundaries and they're not allowed to take over that.
Lisa, I have been to Vegas so many times, the whole place and that whole area going, it's so haunted. And I get a lot of, I have experiences every time I go because I'm like an open book. I mean, if I'm there by myself, literally writing my book in a room and I'm by myself, there are things that happen that, they're a little unnerving. It's not like they're scary, but it's obvious to me that I'm not alone. And I would have to tell you not to go into the haunted museum of Zach Bagans, because I went into a trance in there for it's like you'd be hunting season, girl. I mean, there, and I will tell you, it's nothing but negative, though. I would say negative or kind of unhappy in that museum. I don't know how you would fare out even going into the first room, because it starts the minute you walk right through the door.
I usually get a stomach ache, and I went to Key West, and that whole Key West is haunted too.
Oh yeah.
And I went into Hemingway's house, and I'm like, whoa. And I felt it the minute I walked in, like I knew where all the spirits were, and I was pointing them out. Yeah. And then I told one of the, I don't know, at the end, one of the people that are running the guides.
Tour people.
Yeah, tour people. And I was like, I lost my words. I couldn't speak. I started like throwing up.
Oh my God.
And it was bad. And I, like, my husband's like, we got to get out of here. And I said, yeah, no way. I'm not going back in there, because they were so strong. The wife was in the bathroom and I could see her. And like all these other people are enjoying it. And I'm like running out of there.
Would you say that from the age of 8 to the age you are now, that you can visually see most apparitions or some of them for various reasons, or maybe their energy level is different more so now than you could as a child, or vice versa?
Yeah, as I've gotten older, I'm developing it and working on it every single day. So I get in the power about 15 minutes a day, where I try to remain 15 minutes to staying there in the spirit world. And then I do exercises every day to work on my psychic ability as well, so that it keeps increasing and getting more intense.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's work at, like a muscle.
Yeah, I would love to have you follow me around someplace and go, yeah, who do you see now? Like about 5 minutes ago, I had a lot of severe tingling going on, and I'm like a beacon. The only time that I can physically see or visually see an apparition is if I get electrified. And when I say get electrified, what I'm talking about is like an electrical cobweb that is just full of electrical, like it feels like static. And the minute I hit that, it electrifies my body. And I have found that when that happens, I have been able to visually see apparitions, but not in full body, maybe half their face or just them going around a corner or something like that on a stairwell or something like that. But not very often. But my husband saw his first apparition several months ago on a boat in a museum, where something was in there attached, and he saw everything from beard going down to nearly feet, and only was able to, of course, you only see these things for like 3 to 5 seconds, if that. And he describes this, and to this day, he will not back down. He's very religious, and he won't back down. He saw it, and that's what he saw, and it wasn't a hallucination, and he was telling me about it, and they come when they come. So do you find that when you see these things, it's like, let's say you walk into a room or that with maybe a few people in, but it's got apparitions in there. Are you able to say, yeah, there's a young guy standing over there in the corner, he's kind of wearing clothes from, you know, maybe back in the 60s or something. He's got long hair and dark. Can you see stuff like that, you know?
Well, no, it doesn't work like that. So if I were going to get in the power, I would probably, I would feel like one of your family members with you. So it'd be more like that. Okay. So when I was just a minute ago, I with my clairaudient, yeah, I heard a noise in my office here,
yeah,
and they're making a noise. So for me, that's how my abilities work. And I heard that it was one of your family members. Hmm. So that is how it works for me. It's not like an apparition walking around or something. It's more of a family member. So if I'm in a group of four people, I have to tone that down because it's inappropriate to talk to four people and be like, oh, I have all your family members here. Or I have that one here or this one here. So they were making a tapping noise on the, it's the best way to describe it to somebody else, on my desk. And then for you. And then sometimes I get a tapping noise on the wall. So that's how spirit lets me know that they are here and they want to start.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting.
That's how I knew it was your grandfather when you were talking before, and you were discussing that. And so I'm like, oh, okay, got a family member here. So then before I do my readings, that's my kind of a, you know, now let's get started. You know, we're here kind of thing. So mine starts with clairaudient, but it'll change. It starts to clairsentient. It'll go to, you know, clairvoyant. It moves all around.
Wow.
Clairgustient sometimes. But when I walk in a room with four different people, I mainly feel the spirit world. I don't really see spirits that are still earthbound because I'm really not paying attention to them as I could. I could make it my thing. But I'm more involved in the spirit world because that's where they're evolving. Yeah. So like they're evolving. They're not evolving when they're earthbound. There's nothing really happening to them.
Right. They're just kind of stuck in their...
in between. Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, when we evolve, we're learning and we're growing. But when we're here, we're really not doing much. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing that we're able to communicate with spirits and angels, you know, and you're able to give that gift of healing.
That's a good question, or another thought right there, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
So when people cross over, is it who comes down to get them? I mean, the thing is I think to myself, well, what if I don't want this person to come and get me and get it, make it somebody else? So, mm-hmm. you know, who do you think generally comes down to pick these people up?
A lot of your family members that you haven't seen in a long time.
And what are some of those family members that you are noticing and you're like, oh, heck no. I don't want to go back.
Yeah, usually it's not like that. There is the feelings that we have on Earth, these bad feelings about, you know, grudges, jealousy, more negative feelings that you hold on Earth, they don't exist on the other side. There really is a huge difference because you'll learn on the other side is to let those things go. It's hard, you know, to believe, right? You know, somebody that maybe victimized you or something, but you learn to find peace within.
So tell us a little bit about how we can reach out to you, if you've got any books out, if you're going to be attending any events. Give us the spiel so I can get it in the show notes and people can contact you and what kinds of things do you do?
Okay. So first of all, I am an evidential medium, which means that I link the spirit world to you. So to your family members, friends, and I share aspects of your life, okay? And then also, I do assessments. And what assessment is I explain, I assess your life, and I link that again to the spirit world. I do both of them and I blend them. And I work on your abilities of why you're here and what you need to work on. You can find me online at Heavenly Soul and Spirit. So that is my Facebook page. Also, my email is spiritconnect76@gmail.com. And I would love to work with anyone that is wanting to meet with me, I guess, and connect with their loved ones, friends, family. They're out there that I love to share my gift and kind of go through the process of healing. And how when you do get that, it is a gift from God.
So Lisa, are you also in a psychic directory by chance?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. And I'm also on the psychic directory. You can find me there as well. Thank you. So yes, you can find me there. That's another place you can get a reading. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for being on the show tonight. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Good night.